Well, before the discovery of insulin, a diagnosis of type 1 diabetes was a certain death sentence. The earliest reference to diabetes is on the Abus Papyrus, that's a scroll from ancient Egypt, which describes a medicine to drive away the making of too much urine. Now, this is a reference to the most common symptom of the onset of diabetes, as the kidneys go into overdrive to clear high levels of sugar from the blood. And it also led the second century physician Areteus to give diabetes its name, which is derived from the ancient Greek word for to siphon or to flow. But I think that if a prize were to go for the most colourful or memorable description, it would have to go to the 17th century English physician Thomas Willis, who called diabetes the pissing evil. Gosh, can I say that on the BBC? But frequent trips to the bathroom were the least of a diabetic patient's worries, because sugar, although it's sweet, can also be lethal. Over time, elevated levels of blood sugars cause kidney failure, nerve damage, blindness, and eventually a fatal coma due to the production of toxic compounds called ketones. The best that could be done for a patient was to put them on a starvation diet and to limit their sugar intake, and so delay the inevitable. So little wonder then that when insulin was first discovered, clinicians were absolutely jubilant. One eminent US diabetes specialist, Dr. Elliot Joslin, was so impressed by the power of insulin to save lives that he compared its effect with the vision of Ezekiel, that's the Old Testament prophet, who's said to have seen a valley of dry bones rise up and be restored to life. Joslin's colleague, Dr. Walter Campbell, was equally as impressed, but much less poetic. He described insulin just as 15 cc's of thick brown muck. But someone who was not so happy was the person who'd actually discovered this thick brown muck, a Canadian doctor by the name of Fred Banting. And when Banting's phone rang one morning in October 1923, and a friend told him the news that he'd just been awarded the Nobel Prize for his discovery, Banting's response was not what you might have expected. He was utterly furious. He told his friend to go to hell. He slammed down the receiver and he drove in a rage across Toronto. And the reason for that rage was that the prize had not just been awarded to Banting, but also to his boss, Professor John MacLeod. Now, Banting hated MacLeod. He'd always suspected that MacLeod was out to steal his thunder for insulin, and he thought that MacLeod had no right whatsoever to be sharing this accolade with him. To him, it was not just an insult, it was a travesty. And Banting wasn't the only person who was furious with the decision of the Nobel Committee, because over in Berlin, German clinician Georg Zeltzer wrote a desperate letter of protest, arguing that in 1908, he had already discovered and patented an anti-diabetic substance from the pancreas. So insulin was a discovery that's saved countless lives, my own included, but at times I always think its story somewhat resembles Game of Thrones, but enacted in lab coats and pipettes rather than chainmail and poison daggers. And I also think the story of its discovery has important lessons for us today. Because even though the first doctors, such as Joslin, were delighted with it, they were very clear that it was not a miracle cure for diabetes, as some sections of the press were triumphantly hailing it to be. The president of the British Medical Association at the time, Sir Thomas Horder, reminded one audience that it should be considered to be a walking stick for a lame pancreas. And as the historian Chris Feudner has made clear in his book Bittersweet, what insulin did was it transformed an otherwise fatal illness into a long-term chronic one that could be managed, albeit with the potential for serious complications. Now, Elliot Joslin put it simply. He said, "Insulin is a remedy for the wise and not the foolish, be they patients or doctors. Everyone knows it takes brains to live long with diabetes, but to use insulin successfully requires more brains." Joslin had recognised that while insulin was necessary to live with type 1 diabetes, it wasn't sufficient. It also required thought, discipline, and responsibility on the part of the patient. with respect to activities such as diet and exercise. And it's often very tempting, I think, for us to think that technology alone is going to solve all our problems. But the truth, as ever, is a little bit more complex. As the example of insulin shows, a technological solution is often only at its most effective if it goes hand in hand with behavioural changes on our part. Now, I think that's as true for managing type 1 diabetes with insulin as it is for dealing with the challenge of climate change, a viral pandemic, or AI. And so I think that even though insulin was discovered 100 years ago, its story may well have some important lessons for us all, whether or not we happen to be injecting ourselves with it.